Good evening, and welcome to our final October installment of our New World Witchery 2012 October Halloween Storytelling Extravaganza. We've been focusing mostly on horrifying or fearsome creatures from New World mythology and folklore all this month, and we're going to finish out with one particularly famous and often well-liked, well-loved, well-feared, and terrifyingly fantastic of creatures from folklore, the infamous zombie. We'll be hearing a little bit about that from the New World perspective of the islands where those legends were born. We'll hear some from Zora Neale Hurston, from her book Tell My Horse, and her encounter with a real-life zombie. And then we'll hear a short piece of fiction having to do with a type of zombie. And then we'll finish everything out with a selection from ethnographer and experimental filmmaker Maya Darren, who made a fantastic film all about Haitian voodoo, and who also produced a book in relation to that film. We'll hear a little bit from that. So I hope that you'll put on your running shoes and get your best shotgun, slingshot, flaming arrows, whatever you need to defend yourself against the zombie menace as we descend into the land of the Walking Dead. And I hope you enjoy. From Zora Neale Hurston's Tell My Horse, Voodoo and Life in Haiti in Jamaica. Chapter 13, Zombies. What is the whole truth and nothing else but the truth about zombies? I do not know, but I know that I saw the broken remnant relic or refuse of Felicia Felix Mentor in a hospital ward. This is the way zombies are spoken of. Bodies without souls, the living dead. Once they were dead, and after that they were called back to life again. No one can stay long in Haiti without hearing of zombies mentioned one way or another, and the fear of this thing and all that it means seeps over the country like a ground current of cold air. This fear is real and deep. It is more like a group of fears, for there is the outspoken fear among the peasants of the work of zombies. Sit in the marketplace and notice how often some vendeur cries a zombie with its invisible hand has filched her money or her goods, or the accusation is made that a zombie has been set upon her by their owners. Testing. Testing. 1, 2, 3, testing. This is Corey coming in on the shortwave high-octane WZED radio station, bringing you the best of the world, post-Z. Well, hi everybody. Welcome to day 1072 of Life After Z. You're listening to WZED, our shortwave high-octane radio station. Whew! Well, busy. It's been very, very busy. Let's do a brief recap of events. Alright, let's talk survivor colonies. There are, at last count, at least a dozen survivor colonies that we've been in touch with via our shortwave, quote-unquote, internet group. We've got groups in Atlanta, Hot Atlanta, staying hot, keeping those zombies on fire. Good job, folks, down there. We've got Hilly Jilly, living up in the hills of the Appalachians. She's keeping those zombies nice and frosty in the winter, nice and toasty in the summer. Good job, Jilly. Let's see, we've got some folks down in K-Town. That's Knoxville, Tennessee, for those uninitiated. uninebriated. That's another one of those nice little hill fortresses. Make the zombies bleed orange, apparently. We've got some folks in eastern and central Kentucky, from what I understand, doing some interesting work there. Actually been able to put together some nice farming communities. Zed seem to be leaving most of those communities alone. They've set up some really great perimeter defenses to kind of keep the Zeds away, to keep them distracted, and keep them off of the land, so they've been doing a good job. Mirroring that, we've got out in Oklahoma, we have Rihanna. Rihanna's doing a kick-ass job, if I can say so, with her sort of impenetrable fortress of solitude out there in the big OK. And she's got the Zeds on the ropes, from what I understand. Good job, Rihanna. We're all proud of you. We're all rooting for you. You, your family, whole community you got going on there. If you got any extra jars of preserves, send them my way, because I'm getting a little tired of powdered mashed potatoes. Let's see, who else we got? California, yeah, LA, it's gone, shithole, dead, blasted, I'm sorry. Sorry to see it go. Not really. But no, so major cities, of course, for the most part, are essentially wiped out. But from what I've been understanding, we've got a couple of nice mountain communities up in the northern part of the state. So California, you're doing a good job there. Keep it up. Let's see, who else we've got? I've heard rumors of a couple folks up in the Dakotas. If that's true, if you catch this wave, send us a wave back. We'd love to know how y'all are doing. Pacific Northwest, yeah, I've heard Saturn. Saturn has been doing very, very well with her offshore fleet, basically, putting together a nice little flotilla of boats. They've formed basically an off-the-coast city. Keeps the Z's away from them. The Z's can't really do much in terms of combating the ocean waves, and they're able to do onshore raiding parties every once in a while to gather some supplies. I hear they even have a couple of essentially junk ships that they're doing some organic growth and sort of out-to-sea farming. I've also got, obviously, a good, relatively solid supply of fish, seaweed, things like that. I'd kill for that, so if you got anything, Saturn, that you want to ship on down our way, we'd love to do it. Don't know exactly how you're going to get it here, but if you've got a brave soul willing to brave about 3,000 miles of Zed-infested territory to bring me a nice sushi sashimi roll, I'd appreciate it. Let's see what else we've got. Chi-Town, Chicago. Again, big cities, mostly dead. Chicago seems to be doing pretty well. Got a lot of people living in their hole in the sky, just like me here, finding places in the big cities where they can hole up sort of in the upper reaches of the towers. From what I understand, they've got a hell of a zip line a transit system going on up there in Chicago. So good job up there. Firelight, if you're listening to this, I know you're still alive, I know you're doing well, and you know why, folks? Because he did the cardio. He has that cardio down. He cannot run the Zeds. So there it is. You know, double tap, important. Cardio, also important. So good job there. That's the survivor colonies I know about. If you've got other survivor colonies out there, if you're hearing us, please give us a radio wave back. We'd love to hear from you. See how things are going out there in your world. It does seem like the Z's have been slightly less aggressive lately. Almost seems like there's less of them, too. And I'm not going to let that lull me into a false sense of security. But from what I understand, it looks like we've been hearing of fewer and fewer zombie attacks, less and less of the Z disease being spread by bites. I have, however, heard some unsettling rumors that there have been some animals that have been exhibiting symptoms of the disease. And from what I understand, that was actually happening even before, Z-Day. I've even heard rumors that there was a cat, sort of an old zombie cat, that started this whole thing. Can't prove that. Just a rumor, something for you to think about. Fun little story. That's my basic update for the day. We're going to give you a nice full little show today. We got a couple of folks coming on. Got me, obviously, Corey. We're going to have an ammo of the week section, of course. I'm sure we're going to learn about raining fire down on those bastards' heads, which is nice. We're going to talk about our Zed of the week, who is a twitchy little fella. We'll have a little bit of the good word from the good book from Brother Ezekiel Raphael the Incinerator. Maybe some other stuff going on. We'll see. However long we can stay on the air and however long we can keep this radio show going, we're going to keep doing that for you. Because I love you people. I love each and every one of you. You're a survivor. Survival is sexy. That makes me happy. All right. So we're going to do a quick commercial and be right back with our Ammo of the Week section.
Friends, does this ever happen to you? You're out in the woods, collecting firewood, looking for food, trying to find material for shelter, when all of a sudden, out of the woods, come lurching half a dozen, 2 dozen, 3 dozen Zeds, all intent on making you their next meal. Well, in that situation, you better pray you have more ammo than you've got Zeds. But if you don't, what can you do? Well, friends, that's when I recommend you turn to Hongon Obadiah Equiano. Obadiah Equiano provides your leading source of anti-zombie spellcraft. His Zed's Dead Fire spell will cause zombies to instantly burst into flames before your very eyes. Based on ancient goetic talismans and powerful incantations, Zed's Dead Fire spell is guaranteed to send every last one of those Z's to a fiery, permanent grave. And if that's not enough for you, try Hongon Obadiah Equiano's Smell You Later charm, which can hide your scent for up to 48 hours when you get caught in a tight spot. All of these spells are available by simply looking up Hongun Obadiah Equiano on the shortwave, frequency 6667. That's Hongun Obadiah Equiano, frequency 6667 on the shortwave. Give us a buzz, save yourself some trouble. Get the real old-time magic, that voodoo that you do so well, and sends those Z's back to hell.
All right, and we're back. All right, so for this week's Ammo of the Week, we have that quintessential classic, the Elixir of Doom, the Mixer of Mayhem, the Molotov Cocktail. Now, I know we've covered a lot of explosive incendiary devices on this show before. We've done everything from flaming arrowheads to flamethrowers, but the Molotov cocktail is different. It's one of those things that we generally sort of assume that everybody knows how to make, right? You put something flammable, glass jar, stuff a rag in the neck, light it, throw it, boom, giant burst of fire, burns up all the Zeds that it touches, and you wind up with a nice, fine, powdery ash covering the space where the Zeds used to be. Fantastic, right? Well, but here's the thing. I've seen a lot of people take those Molotov cocktails, light them on fire, and you know what happens? The rag kind of fizzles, burns, singes out. Person holding the Molotov cocktail suddenly finds themselves in the center of 5 very hungry corpses, and that's the end of my friend. I don't like that. I don't think you'd like that either. So we're going to talk a little bit about one of the key tricks to the Molotov cocktail. All right, the basic rule of the Molotov cocktail is, when you assemble the essential ingredients, you want to soak the rag in the flammable liquid first. Then you want to give it a good squeeze and get most of that moisture out of there. You know what that's going to do? It's going to make the rag have essentially a very, very faint amount of alcohol, and it's going to create a vapor layer immediately around the rag. So when you light it, that rag is going to go up, and it's going to be ready to. Just take that flame as far as it can go, right up to the lid of the jar. Now, the trick to that is, then, of course, you've got to make sure that you have it out of your hand before that rag really gets burning inside that jar, because that jar will get hot fast, and it will explode in your hand, and then you will be on fire, and then you will be a fine powdery ash, which means no Zed death. That's good for you. You got out of that, but You know, this whole thing is about saving survivors and keeping friends, and I'd prefer not to keep my friends in a tiny little urn on my mantel place. So, with the Molotov cocktail, what you want to do is you want to soak the rag in whatever your mixer of choice is. I've seen people use gas, I've seen them use booze, though why, for the love of me, I can't understand why you would waste perfectly good booze on killing a Zed. I've even seen people using hairspray, which I think is a far better idea. If you're using something like that, the best thing to do is use a small, tight container. Baby food jars are really good for this. Spray a thin layer of it in the bottom of the jar, and then stuff the rag pretty tightly so that you create a little vapor pocket inside the jar. You're not going to wind up with as much spread on a cocktail like that as you would with a gasoline cocktail, but you do wind up with a nice little burst. Sometimes that'll even distract or scare the Z's. And if you hit, you know, anywhere relatively close to one of them, you're probably going to light at least one, maybe two or three on fire with a cocktail like that. Plus, you can make a lot of them out of a single canister of hairspray and you know, a few dozen baby food jars. You do want to, if you're doing the hairspray method, you can't really soak the rag so much as you just want to kind of get it slightly moist, slightly damp with that hairspray before you worry about lighting it. Now, the other trick to the Molotov cocktail is it's a great improvisational tool. You can use it sort of last minute if you find yourself cornered. You can make a couple of them, throw them, gives you some time to get away. A little harder to make them sort of in a backstock method because they tend to evaporate quickly. They create fire hazards wherever they're stored. Last thing you want to do is have them, you know, sitting on top of your ammunition cabinet and have them go up on a particularly hot summer night and take out all your ammunition with them. So the trick to that is having the ingredients essentially on hand is a good idea. You can actually make most of the components in advance. You could keep jars of the flammable liquid on hand, but keep your rags separate, and just make sure that you have a good supply of rags available that you can then quickly light, squeeze out, put in the top, and then when you light them, make sure that you've wiped your hands as thoroughly as possible before you light them, because your hand may catch fire. And again, we want friends with all of their limbs if possible. So. Let's see, trying to think of anything else. One thing people don't think about as a particularly good Molotov cocktail, but I find it actually works incredibly well, is that hand sanitizer. If you can still find backstocks of that in any of the old grocery stores, people seem to be less concerned with using that for hygiene now. You can actually take that, fill a jar with it, leave a little bit of a room for a vapor pocket, and when you light that on fire, the nice thing about it is it's more or less a gel. It won't quite work like napalm, but when it covers up a Zed, it gives you a good little thin coating that lets you burn them to a nice crispy critter status. All right, so that's it for the ammo of the week, and now we'll go on to the Z of the week. Alright, our Zed of the week is the Twitch. I think you've all seen Twitchy. He is our favorite fast-moving, high-speed, spastic little friend who likes to chase us in our cars, on our motorcycles, skateboards, scooters, segways, whatever we happen to have at hand. He can generally run about as fast as a person, and that sucks. So, the nice thing about the Twitchy is that they tend to be fairly inobservant for the most part, and they don't tend to engage you unless you do something to distract their attention. Most of the time they seem to be sort of in a stupor, but the second they hear you, the second that there's a loud noise, they will see you. As soon as they've seen you, their vision seems to hone in on you, and they will pursue you relentlessly until they're destroyed. Alright, so tips and tricks for dealing with Twitchy. First and foremost, take out his legs. His primary advantage in any situation is the fact that he is a fast zombie. However, you take out those legs, that eliminates that particular part of his capabilities. Of course, if you can get a double tap to the head, if you can do anything to take out the brain, that takes out the zombie. That's a very, very good thing. But sometimes you can't get a good headshot off. If you can take out a limb, that will definitely hobble him and slow him, and you get yourself a little extra time to get a good clear headshot there. So the Twitch is definitely one to watch out for. The other nice thing about the Twitch is they don't tend to move in packs. They're more of a solitary Z. So if you're dealing with one, you're probably only dealing with one. In big cities, that might not be as true. You may wind up with a lot of Twitches that are unaffiliated, essentially, but once one notices you, they all seem to notice you at once, and you have to find high ground. They are really terrible climbers, I've noticed that, so if you can get a good bit off the ground, the Twitches will generally just sort of surround the base of whatever you're in. Sucks to be you for a few minutes, but you might be able to get help, or if you have one of those aforementioned Molotov cocktails, you can start dropping those down. Anyway, so that is our Z of the Week. Next up, we've got a sermon from Brother Ezekiel Raphael, the Incinerator. So, preach it, brother, and we'll be back just after that.
So I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath entered them that was dead, and they came to life and stood upon their feet, a vast army. Ezekiel 37. My friends, my brothers and sisters, the Bible clearly shows that God was well aware that the dead could rise from the death. Rise from the ground, walk the earth in plague, and torment the living. While the Bible is rife, replete with passages relating to the dead walking the earth, in Revelation 11 it says, their bodies will lie in the street of the great city, but after 3.5 days, a breath of life will enter them, and they will stand on their feet, and terror will strike those who see them. So clearly God knew. God knew from so very long ago that we would one day face this horrifying menace, the zombie terror, the plague of walking dead upon the earth. But why? Why are we crying out? Why are we faced with this horrible, horrible plague? But here's the thing, my brothers and sisters. We've had those words for over 2,000 years, and never once did we realize they were a warning intended for us. We didn't listen. We're terrible at that, as people. We're terrible at listening to the signs and the omens and the portents all around us, listening for the sounds of a groaning zombie behind a tree before we go and pick up that piece of firewood and suddenly find a set of teeth sinking into our skulls. We are not a people who listen. But I'm here to tell you today, brothers and sisters, it is time to listen. For in that same book, in that same revelation, we hear about brimstone raining from the sky. In the Old Testament, we hear about bushes on fire speaking truth to prophets. We hear about a religion of fire, a religion of flame. And it is time to take that message, to take that religion of flame, and bring it into this world to face the walking dead menace that has plagued us for so many years. Brothers and sisters, God does not close a door without opening a window. If God knew there were going to be zombies, God knew there was a way to combat them, and he put it right there in the good book. We will rain fire upon them. That's right, my brothers and sisters, everyone within the sound of my voice, I want you to close your eyes and lift up your hand, and I will bless you. I will bless you to say that your hand be blessed in the name of the Lord. And while you got those hands raised, I want you to feel them. Feel the heat in your blood. That heat, that fire. That fire that the zombies lack, that those walking dead plagues cannot bring into their own bodies. That fire in your blood, that fire is the fire of God, the fire that you can rain down upon them, and so I will bless your hands, I will bless your hands to make fire to rain down upon the menace that terrorizes our land. I will bless your hands that every bullet they put in every gun they fire will find its target. I will bless your hands that every time that you hold a torch to an arrow, that the arrow will fly straight and true, bearing its burden of fire into the head of one of those monstrosities, those abominations upon the earth. I give you this blessing in the name of the Lord. Amen.
What's John a-riding?
Well, that's it for this edition of WZED. If you have the ability to record this and send it back out, just let everybody know that they can find us on our original shortwave channel, 5570. If you are a survivor and are looking for other survivors in your area, please give us a wave. We can probably help hook you up with whatever your closest encampment is. If you're hearing this, you're doing a good job. Keep up the good fight, and if we can be of any help to you, please let us know. We're here for each other. We're here for you. So for now, that'll do it for us. So just remember, people, survival is sexy. Stay alive. And we'll catch you on the flip side. There for today on New World Witchery. The last thing you heard there was an excerpt from Maya Deren's Divine Horsemen, The Living Gods of Haiti, which was a film and a book as well. Hope you enjoyed that. Sorry if there was a little bit of a glitch in the middle there. I know we have ran into a technical difficulty with the recording devices, but hopefully that didn't become too distracting. For now, I hope you've enjoyed your October Halloween festivities here on New World Witchery. And I'd just like to say to you all, as always, thank you for listening, and be well.